What about Buddhism? That's what he moves to next, he says, right? To these he calls religions of immanent moralism. So not transcendent, not something other than us, but something with us, right? Immanent among us. So immanent moralism. And he says a leading example of religion of immanent moralism is Buddhism. He says, according to Buddha, there's something wrong with humanity. So what's wrong with humanity? Well, suffering. There's lots of suffering. And so where does the suffering come from? Well, Buddha has an answer. It comes from our desires, man's desires. So he said, Buddha said, if there weren't human desires, there wouldn't be any human suffering. And then he has an answer to that. We can eliminate the problem of suffering by not desiring anything, right? This is kind of similar, Bonson tells us, to stoicism, right? You kind of get rid of these desires. So suffering will cease when desires cease. And so the goal is perfect kind of detachment from our desires. And so we'll be perfectly detached from the world if we follow what the Buddha called the Eightfold Path. And so if we follow these rules, do these things, these moralistic types of things, that will then kind of detach us from the world of suffering and move us then to where Buddha wants us,
So,
suggested we could
you're
go.
saying the goal, my goal, my personal goal should be to form perfect attachment. So my desire should be to not have desires. Okay.
Exactly.
Right.
Got it. I
I
think you
should
got it.
desire not to suffer. And so
That's right.
I need to be goal oriented in
That's
that.
right.
And so if I'm being lazy,
So
then
yeah.
that's
That's
a bad
right. So
desire.
you gotta, yeah, you gotta have the desire to get rid of desire.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. There's probably some Buddhistic retort to that of
I'm sure. I'm
you
sure.
clear your mind of that, and once you get rid of that,
It's kind of like the one hand clap.
exactly. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm a good Buddhist. Okay, so no notice the moralistic cast of this religion. You must do this and not do that. You must be free from lust. You must use the right speech. Your conduct must be charitable. Don't kill anything. You must have the right kind of livelihood, one that promotes life. You must express the will to overcome evil. You must be aware that the body is loathsome. You must meditate correctly. How do you deal with a religion of immanent moralism is the question.
Right. So, yeah. So he gives us basically the Eightfold Path here,
Right.
right? These are the things that we have to do. And so, yeah. So, how do we deal with this kind of approach? Well, so if someone tells you, if someone tells you that you really need to, get into Zen. And so you say, okay, well, what do I do? Well, there are these things that you mustn't do, and there are these things that you must do, right? Like the Eightfold Path or whatever. And says, okay, so what are you going to say about that? Well, this is what you say. You say, who says so? Right? If the answer is Buddha, well, then the enlightenment one, you say, so we kind of already know the answer to this because Buddha didn't really agree with that answer, right? Buddha said not to believe based on what he says, right? So why should we believe a Zen master? Buddha says, no, it shouldn't be believed based on what I say. According to Buddha, we're not supposed to believe any authorities. We're supposed to experience it, right? So that's so you they can't base it on because Buddha says, right? Because Buddha is saying, no, I'm not that kind of authority. You have to experience it, is what Buddha suggested.
Right, but Buddha didn't need a teacher to do it, so why should you? So right now I am the perfect Buddhist because I'm not listening to Buddha. So good. I'm trying to get them all covered. So start out Catholic, do all your contrissory sacraments, and then move into Christianity one by one. I'll get there and have them all covered. All right, so the Buddhist apologists are saying, okay, then you should believe it because you experience it. But if you haven't experienced it, well, then you should experience it. But why? That's what you're trying to find out. Why should you experience it? Maybe you wouldn't like it. But the problem is not just that Buddhism is arbitrary, do it because Buddha said it. After all, if a Buddha said it, here's how you should live your life. You'd expect a Confucius to say, no, Confucius has said to do this. Who are you going to follow? And then what about the Taoists? What about the Shintoists too? Where we start with eminent moralists, we have lost our religious authority and it becomes arbitrary.
Right. So it's arbitrary. That's one of the things, right? You just kind of do whatever the authority says, but then which authority, right? That's one problem. The other problem is that it's inconsistent, he tells us. It's full of internal contradictions. For instance, Buddha says that man does not have a soul, right? So there is no soul in man. But notice this, we must be careful not to build up bad karma.
Yeah.
So Buddha believed in karma, that we could build up bad or good karma. But Buddha says that there was no soul. So how can there be bad karma if there's no soul that's going to be passed on? That's the problem, right?
Right.
And Buddha responds by taking the Platonic route of, you know, kind of appealing to a metaphor or a myth or something like that. And he tells us, you know, well, it's like the flickering candle that passes its flame to another candle. So that's what it is. We don't really have souls, right? But we, you know, we kind of like a flickering candle. You light one candle, it flickers and lights the other and so on and so forth. It's kind of like that fire.
Right. But is that flame then me? Well, no, it's not, because there's no soul that's passed on. But I'm passing on my bad karma to somebody, right? Do you know what that would lead me to do? Eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow somebody else is going to pay that price. I don't care about what happens in the next life. If my bad karma is going to somewhere else, then what do I care about it being bad karma? So,
yeah.
And Jehovah's Witnesses kind of have the same issue as well. They have a belief system that you're going to be completely destroyed, and the form of you perfected in the mind of God will be recreated. So that's why you should do good, because this new being is going to rise up and be you. But that's not me. My soul isn't passed to that being. And so why should I care about anything if the ultimate me isn't going to be the thing that inhabits eternity with God in splendor after all the bad people are raptured?
Yeah. Exactly. And so with the Buddhists, you can't have karma and soul, right? Because you can't have karma and no soul, because if karma is supposed to affect the soul, but you don't have a soul, then it's not affecting anyone, right? And so as you pointed out here, the issue then is fine. I shouldn't worry about my karma if I don't have a soul, because I'm not the one that's coming back in the next life anyway. Somebody else is, right? Because I don't have a soul. So that's a huge inconsistency that he points out here with regard to this particular approach, right? Now, he says all religions of eminent moralism run into this same kind of difficulty. They cannot give up first arbitrarily an authoritarian reason for living, right? The way that we're supposed to live. You're supposed to live, follow the Eightfold Path or whatever. Why? Well, because the leader says so. They can't get that up. So it's kind of arbitrary. And they also are involved in inconsistencies as well, right? Buddha says that you don't have a soul, but they say that karma attaches to something so that they can be passed on in the next life.
Right.
And so that's inconsistent, right? So there are problems there with that kind of eminent moralism.